Good evening, everyone. This is Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom. This is the show where we talk about the Akashic Records, we talk about your life, we talk about your soul's information. And tonight, I'm actually delighted to talk to you. I'm delighted to talk to you every weekend. I've got to tell you that you, as a listener of the Akashic Wisdom Internet Radio Show here on BBS Radio, are so important. And what's even more paramount important is your participation in our program, because it is our program. It's as good as you make it. It's as good as your calls and questions that come in. So although we don't do futures necessarily, because we're not working with the psychic aspect of the Akasha, we're working with the soul's aspect of the Akasha. And where all your soul's information from why you chose this lifetime and the people in this lifetime, to how certain things have affected you, to how to release certain blocks. And so we talk about what's meaningful in your life today and help you understand your information so that you can make the appropriate choices for you to create your tomorrow. So this is a program that's dedicated to humanity, and it's dedicated to those people who want to really do the work within themselves. And although that can be daunting and challenging at times, that's what the Akashic Records work is all about. It's about helping human beings really move into the joy of being human. I mean, after all, we all chose to be here at this time, at this place, at this point in history. Now, whether or not you are happy about that choice or not, the reality is we have chosen to be here for a reason. And we no longer have the luxury of saying, I don't like it here, I want to go home. I'm sorry, that doesn't work anymore. You've chosen to be here. It's time to get yourself together, put your big girl panties on, if you will, and let's see how we can manifest and change the world. Now, we're not going to change the world by ourselves. All we can do is change ourselves. We have to start with one being at a time. And the being most easy to change is the one whose skin we're living in. Because when we decide that we will do the work that we need to do, and I've got to tell you, folks, I'm not saying this from outside of that circle. I'm saying it from within that circle. So I am choosing to do my work on myself the same way I am asking you to do your work on yourself. I mean, just because I've been working with the Akashic Records for going on 13 years doesn't mean that I'm done. Now, that might be disheartening. Say, gee, after working with that stuff all that amount of time, you should be pretty perfect by now. Not. No. I mean, I didn't sign on to being human to be perfect. I signed on to be human to experience the human experience. And humans are perfect in their imperfection. My perfection that I experience is the perfection of the people around me who show me what I need to learn about myself. That's perfection. The perfection comes from appreciating the various challenges that you've had in your life. The perfection comes from taking an aerial view of the bigger picture of what life on planet Earth is all about. And so, being perfect in my imperfection, I'm constantly learning, and I'm constantly evaluating, and sometimes I even act on my evaluation, and sometimes I don't, because I am human, and I am perfect in my imperfection. But I am blessed, as you are blessed, to have wonderful friends and people around me that will help me, will sometimes kick me in the butt, and sometimes will, and I'm going to say this on purpose, will on purpose not help me. I don't mean that they choose not to help me, but from whatever reason, the universe has will block that help so I get to be able to strengthen my wings on my own. And so I encourage you to take a look at the way your wings are being strengthened. I encourage you to take a look at what challenges are happening in your life that are giving you the opportunity to be grateful, to go deeper into who you are. You know, this weekend has been a very profound weekend for me. I was honored to conduct a level one class for, and I had some very special participants in this class who really brought forward profundity and profound questions that I will personally continue to work on in the records, as well as I think they will too. So I'd like to share some of those questions in case you like to journal for those people who have taken my level one and would like to also journal. I would like to share with you some of these questions. Let me get to my notes here. And by the way, the questions I'm about to share with you, feel free to give a call here and let's discuss them, okay? Or possibly you want to even ask these questions of the Akasha as it relates to you. So if there's a question that you hear here tonight that you say, wow, I'd like to know the answer to that question, or I would like to get insight on what that is for me, then you need to give a call. And tonight you can call in from anywhere in the world, toll free. And you can call and talk to me, Donna Fox, on Akashic Wisdom, and we can have a conversation. Or if you want to email me, you can certainly email me your question. And your email comes directly to me. I have my computer on. I'm ready to listen and ready to watch for the questions. And my email address is info@akashicwisdom.com. That's info@akashicwisdom. Okay. And if you'd like to call in and talk to me personally, that's great. Telephone number to call me, again, worldwide, toll-free, is 888-815-9756. And so I look forward to speaking with those of you who would like to call in. And you don't have to ask these questions that I'm about to give, but we can talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. It's always profound when you call. And so, but let's just kind of start this out a little bit. So one of the questions that came forward that you may want to contemplate in the class was, and these are the kinds, by the way, what I'm about to give you is the kinds of questions that come forward in a level one workshop. The Akashic Record Keepers and I open up my Akashic Records prior to the workshop and do work in the records as to what would best serve the group. Now, again, for those people who are just tuning in for the very first time, I access the Akashic Records with a sacred prayer. And the prayer itself is a vibrational key. And what's important about that is that the actual prayer, literally, because of the vibrations of the words and the way they're put together, shifts the energy to make the information accessible. And what's different about what we do in the Akasha is, I just want to compare a psychic reading, for example, the Akashic Records consultation. The best way to explain that to you is that, and again, this is not saying a psychic reading isn't, you know, valuable, because there are many psychic readings that are valuable. However, psychics typically deal with futures and they'll deal with the peripheral energy around a person. So what's true today will not be true tomorrow based on your free will choice. So if you're looking to go into the futures and you work with a psychic, just know that your choice can change anything that is said to you, and you can truly create your future. Now, and with a psychic reading, the information, okay, like the psychic goes out to their through their third eye to access the information. When I do a consultation for myself or for a client, I open the Akashic Records. The consultation is based 100% on the individual's question. And from that question, the information comes forward. So rather than going out for it, I wait for it to come to me. And it's not about channeling. This is not about anything entering my body. The information, because I'm in the field of the Akasha, the information shows up in a variety of different ways. So it might show up in words that I hear, or a knowing that I have, or it might show up in a picture. And so what I do when I work with someone in a consultation is I tell them exactly what I see, hear, or sometimes feel. But it is not my information. It is my client's information. And so it's very interactive. And so your questions are very important. That's why calling into the show is so important. And let me give you that number again. It's 888-815-9756. And don't worry about interrupting me if I'm talking. I'll finish my thought before I answer your call. So I just want you to feel free to call in. So let's go to that one question that came forward. Well, we have a lot of them from the workshop, but in the workshop we have a manual, but there are questions that come up that once a person knows how to open their own personal Akashic Records, which is what you learn in level one, you learn how to say the prayer and how to use that energy of the Akasha in every area of your life. So what happens is we have questions that come forward from the Akasha that are specifically designed for the group. And each group's energy, as I'm sure all of you know, is different because there's different people there. So the questions, in many cases, are very different and always insightful. So first question here that we were talking, well, actually, it's one of the questions that we were talking about, is please give me insight into the process of how I make decisions and what I need to know to improve the process. Let me give that to you again.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes. I was wondering, how is it that you connect with the pertaining to the individual that you're communing with? Is that all what you need to make that energetic connection with the Akash?
Okay. Okay. First of all, who am I talking to?
Oh, my name is John Michael.
Hi, John. And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Connecticut.
Okay, great. When I do an individual consultation with someone, I need their current legal name.
Uh-huh.
That's all I need.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I don't need any other information from the person when I do a consultation other than their current legal name and then their individual's question or the question and their current legal name get us to the right area of the records, and the information comes forward from that.
Okay. Yeah, my question would be, I would be interested in what some of my stronger points were in past lifetimes.
Why would you want to know past lives rather than this lifetime?
Well, past lifetimes could be applied to this lifetime in that they could be integrated into this.
Sure.
And it would also show us, where our strengths were in past lifetimes that... give us an energy that we might call on to work with in this lifetime.
Right. No, and that's a valid point. But I also would like you to consider that the strengths that you wanted to work on from past lives You already put that on your agenda and curriculum to bring to this lifetime. So you have them now. And what I'm saying is, it's not just about what did I do in the past that was great. It's about what am I able to do now that is great.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't that be an
exciting
thing?
Well, sometimes in a lifetime, we're, you know, we might be held back by situations in our life or a family or another other parts of our purpose that we wish to complete. And then when we finally move into that space where we want to be, I would like to just see if I had applications of that in the past as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, I understand that I probably would, but, you know, affirmations are always wonderful.
Oh, sure. No, I'm encouraging you to know that you are a complete and holy being as you are, as you sit, and that you have brought everything you need into this lifetime. And I think it's, you know, many times it's important to look at the past, but it's also important to look at the current, the now. So are you saying that you would like to know where your strengths were in the past?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And is John Michael your current legal name?
Yes.
Is that your first and last name?
Yes.
Okay. And so what you would like to know is that in past lives, how did you serve humanity?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In other words, like, what the record keepers are saying is that what your focus is more about serving humanity than actually it is in finding glory for yourself. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, sure. I mean, I work in the healing arts and have done that for the past 20 years almost.
Uh-huh.
And so, sure. I mean, to me, it would be all about service to humanity. You know, I believe that that's part of everyone's purpose. Some are just not open to that because of the, you know, the materialistic beliefs that were instilled in them throughout their lives.
Right, but what the record keepers are saying is that serving humanity has been a theme through all of your past lives.
Uh-huh.
Not every human, okay, that is here on the planet has chosen service to humanity in other past lives.
I see. Okay.
Okay, that's not always a choice.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I mean it might work out that way, but that's not necessarily the choice. So what's important for you to understand is that your lifetimes in Atlantis were very important to you as far as understanding your true power of being not only wise but also powerful with your hands. So what I'm being shown is that you really they're showing me that you had hands of gold. And you were not only a master healer, but an alchemist in Atlantis. In Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
That was the reason that's important for you to know in this lifetime, is because you also have the gift of alchemy now. Do you understand what that means for you?
Not completely, no.
Okay. Would you like to know?
Yes.
Okay. So the gift of alchemy means that you have the gift of being able, and you have the probability of being able to actually create and put together formulas for healing for people and yourself, provided the fact you are willing to move over and out of a victim mentality.
Uh-huh. Sure. I mean, I don't believe in victims whatsoever. I believe we create our reality completely with our thoughts.
Well, that's true.
Based upon our beliefs in that.
That's true. But many times being a victim can be very insidious. I mean, victim mentality can show up in a very subtle way, even if you want to have more money than you do and you want to know why you're not getting it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that kind of mentality can be very, very insidious.
Sure, 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, when we understand that abundance will flow to us if we allow it and just continue with what brings us joy, then we can move out of that victim mentality, we also have to understand that our bodies reflect all of our issues and attitudes alone in the health that it gifts us with. But, well, that's very interesting. I wasn't aware of those points. But it's you're right on the money, because that's that's my major focus in life is working with healing. So we set up a healing room here, and it's even actually based upon the Atlantean grid, and you know, using pyramidal energies and sacred geometry. And we also did that in Sedona for the past 16 years. And brought that out to our Connecticut now.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, I'm going to definitely get a hold of you, and possibly we could even have a workshop in this area.
Oh, I'd love to come. I go where I'm invited. Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, well, you'll get an email from me with my name on there, and you'll know who I am then.
That's great. Let me give you my private telephone number.
All righty.
You ready?
Okay.
It's 216.
Okay.
691.
691?
Yeah. 216-691-1233.
1233.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And that goes right to my, if I'm sitting at my desk, I'll answer it. Otherwise, it'll go right to my voicemail, and I pick up messages from there.
All righty. Okay, excellent. Then I'll give you a call tomorrow then.
Well, that'd be wonderful, John. I'd love to hear from you.
All righty. Well,
thank you so much for calling
nice.
In.
It was nice talking to you, too. You have a wonderful day.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Goodbye now.
Bye. Yes, now you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that, you know, had I been able to talk a little longer with John, what I could have told him, and I hope you're listening, John, is that he is a magnificent being of light, and that his work, you know, is not only, as I said before, coming from an Atlantean base, but also there are, and I'm using the word elixirs, that he has access to in his Akashic records that actually could help people in their everyday life to heal faster and better. And so there's information that he has within him. If he's not already working on it, I'm sure that he will be soon. So it was great talking to him. And again, I thank you for calling in. So again, when we do a level one workshop, it's very, very interesting. And so I want you to skip back to that one question and see how you feel, how you're doing with that. What you want to do when you journal this is, or write in your journal, is you want to write what first comes to you. And so, again, the question is, please give me insight into the process of how I make decisions and what I need to know to improve the process. Now, one of the issues around decision-making is that we tend to second-guess ourselves. And so what we learned is that, we all have our different processes, but light workers many times, or people in general, it's not just light workers, a situation will arise, they'll need to make a decision, and they make a decision, and yet they'll second-guess themselves. Or they will ask other people for their opinion, or they'll wait to create or make the decision until the idea of not making a decision is a decision in itself. So sometimes when you don't decide, you've decided. Sometimes by doing nothing is the decision, and to wait to see what happens. And sometimes when you do that, you are either happy with the outcome or not. But notice when you don't make a decision and you leave it to chance, if you will, that you have now given your power away. By choosing nothing, are choosing non-action, you create a situation that will either empower you or make you feel more shameful. And this is how that works. If you make a decision to do nothing and it works out in your favor, then you walk around saying, hey, that was great. See, I didn't have to do anything, and the universe took care of me. I let the universe handle it for me. The universe knew what was best for me. And you're happy because somebody else made the decision for you. Quote, someone else took care of you. Notice that. If, in fact, that decision that you decided not to make turns out badly, then you rely on saying, well, you know, it just wasn't meant to be. I guess I just didn't, you know, I just didn't deserve it. Or it wasn't the right timing. Or the universe didn't feel it was right for me. Either one of those statements is giving your power away. It's relying on someone else to take care of you, rather than you making the choice. So that's very important. And I want to mention that when you do that, again, I was just talking to John about not being a victim, and again, I agree 100% with what he says, is that we, you know, in our mind, we create our own reality. But just that choice of not making a choice is a victim mentality, because we're not taking charge of our lives. We're not actively participating in our life. We're not saying, I'm willing to take a risk on what I believe to be true. Whenever we give our power away and say, I'm afraid to make a decision, you have now slipped back into a victim mentality. You have slipped into allowing someone to take your power, whether it be the universe or whatever, and you've slipped into allowing something else to create your future, to really move into your own personal and manage your destiny. And one of the things that's so important about this is that you, as a being of light, have the birthright of choice. That's why we came to the planet, to experience choice. But we, many times, are so afraid of, quote-unquote, being wrong, and we're so afraid of failure that we choose not to participate in our own lives, and that's when we give up our power. And so it would be really important for you to take a look at, where does this pattern fit in your life? And how has the repercussions of this pattern affected your life? And where is the shame that you're carrying for not making your decisions that have created missed opportunities that you now feel guilty about, or angry about, or sad about, or frustrated with yourself? So, and again, this is not a criticism. The record keepers are not criticizing you. What they're trying to do is help you become aware that it's time for you to take charge and move into your heart and get very clear about what you truly want. And so the recommendation about how to make a decision that I received from the record today was to only make a decision in a situation that made me feel good about me. And if I was in a situation where I couldn't find anything to feel good about at that moment, I had to look at what would the result what result would make me feel good about me? Now, you've kind of heard us talk about this before, but it seems to be real important to talk about this again. Because we can no longer, we as a species, we as humans, we can no longer go about our business or walk our path and not take charge of our lives 100% by being totally present with our life and totally present in our truth and totally present in our integrity of who we are and what we truly want. That, when each one of us takes a stand like that, the more of us that do that, the stronger this earth will become. The more of us that do what makes us feel good. Now, this is not about selfish, feel-good things that hurt other people. This is about getting clear that when I am truthful with me, when I do what makes me feel good about me, then I allow those around them the freedom of doing what they feel good about as well. I empower the people around me to be honest, to be truthful, and to do what makes them feel good. And then when we combine that in a common goal, we are extremely powerful in the accomplishment. So, you know, you can bottom line it by saying, only do what feels joyful. But many times there are things that we have to do that we don't feel joyful about. However, the end result is what will make us feel good because we know we accomplished it. And so that's what we're talking about here. So the recommendation is that you start looking at your life. You start becoming aware of your self-talk. And you become aware of your own decision-making process. And it's also going to be very important for you to begin to become aware of how much do you, as a human being, blame your life circumstances, on what happened in past lives. How many times do you say that the reason certain things have happened is because of what you did or did not do, or certain things that were done to you in a past life? Or things that you know because of a past life. And what is being said here is notice that past lives, although they are important, are really not to blame for your current life. They may be a barometer. They may give you insight. But your choices are still your choices in this lifetime. Who you were in a past life is who you were. That lifetime is done. You've completed and moved on to another lifetime. You're not still paying the bill for the lifetime you left. It's real important that you know that. And it's real important, and this is coming from the records. This whole program comes from the records, folks. This is not just Donna Fox talking here. I tell you what the record keepers tell me to tell you. And so it's very important that in reclaiming our personal power, that we no longer allow the concept of any negativity that happened in the past life to then be blamed on what's going on in this lifetime. You are the sum and total of your total soul's information. However, that information has been fitted and honed and customized to this lifetime. You made a choice of what strengths to bring into this lifetime, what weakness to come into this lifetime, what career choices came into this lifetime, what parents you brought into this lifetime, what health challenges you brought into this lifetime, what financial challenges or financial blessings you brought in for this lifetime. All of those things are part of your agenda, part of your curriculum, part of your path, if you will. And each one of those areas has multiple layers of information that you can access and you can go deeper into and you can make choices about based on your soul's intention of experience. And that's what the records, the Akashic Records, help you do. That's what an Akashic Record consultation can help you do. That's what learning how to access your personal Akashic Records can help you do, is to go deeper into the layers of information that you have carried forward into this lifetime to serve you, and then ultimately to serve whoever your, wherever your destiny is, or whether your, whatever your soul's purpose is. And I say purposes, not just purpose, because we have multiple purposes every time we incarnate. It's never just one thing. And so notice that we are, that what the record keepers, what we're saying is that the complexity, the beautiful complexity of who we are, is what we want to delve into, what we want to bask in, what we want to relish, and what we want to learn from. The total experience is what this is all about. So it's really going to also be important that you get clear about not only what you want your life to look and feel like, but where you stand with telling yourself the truth and standing in your own integrity. Part of standing in your own integrity is very much a part of you helping you feel good about you. So let's move on to another question. For those people who are working, this is a question that we didn't get to in the workshop, but it was very important. For those of you who are light workers, and for those of you who really feel they're on target, on their path, and also for those of you who feel you're totally off the path and that you're meant for greatness and that you need to find out what it is, the question the record keepers came up with for you to go deeper into your own higher self and information is, where is my ego in relationship to my work? Where is my ego in relationship to my work? One of the reasons that's important is because there are people, let me express this properly. There are clients that I work with that deeply want to The comment I've heard is, I want to heal the way Jesus healed. I remember being a healer and just walking by a room or walking by a person and just laying my hand and that person was healed. I want to be able to do that again. And yet, in further examination, the reality is that no human really wants, truly in their heart, wants to be able to know how to do that. I mean, you may want to know how to do it, but if you could do it, you would be very, it would be very hard for you to survive on the planet. The reason why is because people would be so come to you in such mass degrees that it would be hard for you to really do your work. So you want to ask yourself that question. Where is my ego in relationship to my work? Do you have a caller on the line? Hello? Do you have a caller on the line?
Yes, hello.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Hello.
Hi there.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm good. Who is this?
My name is Dan, and I'm calling from Florida.
Oh, hi, Dan. Welcome. Have you listened to the show before?
Actually, I haven't. I was just kind of going through another website, and I noticed they just have tons of interesting talk radio stations on the website that I was on. It's called Phoenix Science Foundation.
Okay.
And basically, yeah, you're right on that website right now, and there was just tons of, like I said, interesting radio talk shows, and you were just one of them, and I figured I'd go and listen in, and I decided to call because I got a question.
Oh, that's great. What's the name of that website again?
It's called Phoenix Science Foundation.
Oh, great. Thank you. I just was curious. I'm curious to find out where I'm at.
Okay. Yep, you're right there right now.
Cool.
But, yeah, I was just wondering about something. You know, I'm sure you've possibly had guests call in and ask about the spiritual aspect of this type of stuff before. I'm not even really sure if you can actually answer this question, too. I'm not really sure how much you know about, like, the Illuminati. You ever heard of that?
I have heard of the Illuminati.
Okay, first of all, I was watching...
I don't know very much about the Illuminati, but I've heard about them.
Okay, yes.
But I'm
I was
not going to answer
this
question anyway. The record keepers will, so we're good.
What's that?
I personally won't... I don't need to know about the Illuminati. The record keepers will know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about, the record keepers. Now, here's the deal. I was listening to this one video a while back, and it was talking about how these people with inside of the Illuminati or whatever... This was like a five-hour documentary on YouTube, and it was about like 9/11 and some other stuff. And it said, and I didn't understand what they were talking about at the time, but they said these people were trying to get a hold of the Akashic Records. And when they said that on that video, I was just like, what's an Akashic Record? I've never even heard that before. I didn't even know how to spell it.
Right.
And then I was just, you know, going through this website I'm on now, and I saw that, you know, it's got that right on you guys' label, Akashic Wisdom.
Right.
So what is the Akashic Records exactly?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. And your name is Dan, right?
That's right, ma'am.
Okay, Dan. The Akashic Records, Dan, are the energetic recording of your soul's journey over every lifetime. So every thought, every word, every deed are registered in the Akasha, including your soul's intention for this lifetime. So that everything that's ever lived or is living now has an Akashic record. So I don't understand what they're talking about them trying to get the Akashic records, because the Akashic records are not something, quote-unquote, a group of people or anyone could, quote-unquote, get. The Akashic records are only there for us to access. Not possessed.
Okay, that's a very interesting answer. Yeah, I didn't really understand what it was, to be perfectly honest with you, neither. Like I said, I just kind of heard the term on that documentary, and they just kind of threw it out there real quick, and I was like, well, what's that? And it was just kind of by chance that I was going through the radio stations on this website, and I saw that one there about the Akashic. So basically, just you know, summarize, you're just saying it's like... the record system is like a energetic mixing pot of basically everything that has happened over everybody's lifetime, you're saying?
And not just on planet Earth.
Okay, so would there be multiple ones for different planets?
Oh, sure. The records are so vast that they are beyond galactic.
Okay, so I think I kind of got lost for a second. So the Akashic Records, is that just for Earth or is that for the universe?
No, it's for the universe. It's beyond galactic. So it's beyond galaxy. It's the Akashic Records is because it's energetic. What's important I'll help you understand this a little bit better. Are you familiar with the concept that everything is frequency and vibration?
Yep, I've heard, I know one person in particular who talks about that stuff all the time, yes.
Okay, so because everything is frequency and vibration, the words that we're saying are vibratory. When we act on something or walk down the street, we're moving vibrations. We're all in frequency here. And the same way a radio wave can go out and be heard beyond our earth, the same way the energy and the frequency and vibration of the Akasha are capturing every thought, every word, every deed of everything that has ever lived and is living now.
Okay, so that would basically include like animals and things like that.
Animals, trees, fish, absolutely.
Okay, so that almost sounds like what you would think some people's definitions of what God would be. Am I correct in saying that, or am
yes,
I totally incorrect?
Yes, it's true. However, God is even greater than the Akashic Records. But there's one way of referring to the Akashic Records is it's God's greatest search engine in the sky. We just say in the sky, not because it's really in the sky. But the idea is it's God's great search engine. So when we work with the Akashic Records, and my method of accessing the Akashic Records is something that I learned over 13 years ago, and what I teach is this specific sacred prayer that it is a vibrational key, and it shifts the energy to make the information accessible. So what it does is by saying the prayer, it expands my energetic alignment as well as it hones my energetic alignment to be in total sync, if you will, in total, that's what it's synchronicity or in alignment with this information or with the access to whatever information that I want to know.
Okay, so I pretty much think I got a better understanding now. I don't want to say I understand it completely, but I got a better understanding now.
Sure.
But basically, you're just saying that say there was like a network of criminal individuals, like a force of negativity, whatever you want to call them.
Okay.
You know, people call them the Illuminati, but you know that's not even really their name. Actually, that's just what it's basically like a nameless organization. So you have to kind of give it a name. That's one name for this network of criminals.
Okay.
These dark people. So you're saying that even if say that was one of their goals, they wanted to get access to these records or something like that, these super records. All right.
Right.
So you're saying they couldn't do that, and that's just not possible. They couldn't somehow go and hack in, so to speak, just to use different terminology. They couldn't hack in and hijack control of those records to manipulate things in our third dimension reality here to do and carry out things that they want to do, whatever it may be. So you're saying they can't do that.
What I'm saying is that they could not manipulate the records. The fact that they could get access or not access is a moot point, because even if they got access, it would be impossible to manipulate them. They might be able to find out information, but not for a very long time before they would be shut down by the lords and the guardians of the records.
Okay, so I guess I kind of phrased that incorrectly. They couldn't, like, hack in and get more control than normal people could.
No.
And use that stuff to their advantage, I guess would be the better way to put it, to use it to their advantage to carry out negative tasks and things like that.
Not unless it was a consensus of choice by the people they were wanting to work with.
Uh-huh. So basically, what if they went and manipulated everybody's mind to convince themselves that it's a good idea to do something like that, then it would work, you're saying?
No. It would have had to been a soul choice prior to coming into body.
Okay.
So the idea here is that you have to understand that the way we, in this third-dimensional body that we have, is really only, we only think it's three dimensions. There's multiple dimensions to our energetic forces of this physicality that we call human body. Because we're not just, it's not just a arms and legs. It's multiple universes, if you will, of dimensions and that we carry with us and force fields that we carry with us. That's all in the Akashic Records, and I might be getting ahead of myself here. But what is important to understand is that everyone has a choice of experience coming into this body or coming into this field of energy called planet Earth. And so when a person makes the choice prior to coming in to planet Earth, they then have, the best way to look at it is they're dropped into a maze. And what they have is the gifts they chose to bring with them, as well as the challenges. And then at the end of the maze is when they leave the planet or they go back to spirit. Whatever happens in that maze has been something that they have wanted to experience in one way or another based on their free will choice. So if someone were to do harm to someone else, let's make it real simple. Let's say somebody hits somebody else and kills them in a car accident. Okay?
Okay.
All right. That's not random.
What?
That choice was made by both of those souls to participate in that experience prior to coming in. There was a point of free will choice of whether or not the soul that left wanted to leave at that point or they wanted to stay. We all have various times of out cards. And
okay.
So whatever it is that a free will choice, and it may not be conscious. So any kind of evil that is out there is a lower vibration, but it has nothing to do with being more powerful than divine love. There is nothing more powerful than divine love. Nothing. Yet. But humans can choose to be into a lower vibration for that experience. And that's where your Illuminati come in.
Okay, so they would be like hellish type people. Like hell is usually symbolically and even possibly literally speaking, you know, dimension-wise, if you're talking about that angle, like dimension-wise, it would be like on a lower dimension, you're saying, like the hell type people.
Well,
but
you know,
they
I don't know
like
enough
the
about them to be able to make a comment, and the record keepers are not going to make a comment on that because they don't want to label anything or any regarding that because the label is to give power to. And it's not necessary. The explanation is there are no victims, there are no perpetrators, there are only experiences and observations. Everything is choice. So however the humans choose or have chosen to participate in this particular lifetime or this particular span of history with those beings, whether they be of the earth or not, that's the choice of experience that they have created. It's not
okay,
about
yeah.
doing something against somebody's will when you're talking about soul information.
Okay, I follow you somewhat. Hello?
Hi, does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, I follow you somewhat. Some of the stuff I don't really understand, but as far as, you know, you're talking about the different dimensions and stuff like that, you know, I do, at least to some degree, understand some of that stuff. And I would like to kind of put out there, you know, just kind of say this openly, that mainstream science, okay, is now starting to accept and investigate the reality of different dimensions and possibly even different parallel universes that we're involved in. And there's actually, they're going so far as to actually put up satellites and space instruments to actually record and try to detect some of these different parallel universes, and they're actually they're evolving into like a new idea of what they call a multiverse or a megaverse, which
right.
is the idea of more than one universe existing probably all at the same time.
Exactly.
And that's gaining more and more ground, and that's actually you know, that's what these mainstream physicists are looking at.
Right.
And look, when there's people on CNN, physicists, and I think the one guy's a theoretical physicist, talking about how to time travel and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's when people really need to start taking a look at this stuff. And that's the one guy, I think his name was Ronald Mallett. Have you ever heard of that guy?
No, I personally haven't, no.
Okay,
Donna
yeah, he's
has,
a theoretical.
I'm not familiar with that. I'm not familiar with him, no.
Okay, yeah, he's a theoretical physicist. He's trying to build a time machine right now, actually, but he can't get funds to do it. And so I'm familiar with this whole dementia thing. I've read a lot of books on it. But so basically, just back to the original point, so this force of negativity, you said they don't want to put names on it and stuff like that. They don't want to, I guess, talk down on them.
The record keepers are saying they do not want to feed any fear.
Okay.
It's not about feeding fear. It's about explaining how things are. So it's not about it's not about label anything, because it's about not promoting fear. But what you were saying about the different dimensions, that's what we were saying before about how the human is much more dimensionally oriented than what we're aware of. And so those scientists, what I'm hearing from the record keepers, is they're experimenting with sound and frequency to be able to access or become aware of the different shifts in the energy or the there's a universal tone that we have, and that when they're able to access or prove different universes, they're able to detect the various levels of light or levels of frequency within that quote-unquote tone. That's the best way that they're explaining it to me.
That's pretty much exactly how they describe it, almost to the exact words.
Is that right?
To be honest.
Well, there you go.
That's what they say. They're trying to detect like different frequencies and different wavelengths. Because what they're saying is that there's dark matter all through the universe.
Yeah.
And the dark matter is basically what some people, I'm not really sure if I understand this part all the way, but what I think is that some of these physicists think the dark matter could be signs of another universe basically being right next to ours. And these, I guess if there would be creatures or living beings just like us living inside of that other universe, they could be right in our living room right now, but we wouldn't even know it.
Absolutely.
But the whole thing is what you're talking about. They're on a different frequency.
Exactly.
It's like a different television station. They're almost on a different station.
That's exactly right. And it's just about dialing into that frequency that's going to get you there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I really appreciate you taking my call and answering my questions. I definitely feel like I got a different perspective on the Akashic Record System, which I didn't know before I called, so I really appreciate that.
Well, it's absolutely my pleasure. I love talking to you. It was great. I hope you listen in again, and I hope you tell your friends, and I'm glad that it was helpful.
Okay. Thank you very much for taking my call. Thank you.
You're welcome. You have a great evening. Okay,
okay.
Bye-bye. Well, gosh, has this been a good show or what, you guys? I just love these callers. When you guys call in and ask these wonderful questions, it makes it so rich, and that's just so good. So I hope you all enjoyed yourself tonight. I certainly did. And I want to just remind you that for those people who are curious about knowing more about the Akashic Records, please email me. I'm happy to email you lots of information about the Akashic Records. You can email me at info@akashicwisdom.com. You can call me privately at 216-691-1233 if you'd like to schedule a consultation, or if you have a business that you would like to get more information for. I do business coaching, life coaching, and just individual consultations, and naturally I do classes, and I go where I'm invited. So I love you guys. It's been great talking to you. We're going to sign off for now, and I want you to have a miracle-filled week. May this week be one that just is so magnificent. And you want to remember something, that coming up is Mother's Day. And so for those of you who are mothers, I want you to be grateful for your children. And for those of you who are children, I want you to be grateful for your mom. And for those of you who know mothers, be grateful as well. Whether any time a mom is on the planet or off the planet, she always loves her kids, even though it doesn't look like it sometimes. Okay, so I'm going to sign off for now. I'm going to close the record of the Akashic Wisdom Show, and I'm going to say I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. We ask that all those listening, may they have a miracle-filled week. May their hearts be opened, their burdens be lifted, and may you all truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And with that, we close the record of the Akashic Wisdom Show for May 3rd, 2009, by saying amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed. If you'll all join me in saying amen. Good night, everybody. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.